kort introduktion. Silas, we welcome you. I've said a few words about your place, about the Nehemiah Ministries. Han har alltså ett center I Siliguri och ett ända längre öst som hörer till något som heter Nagaland, som är 7 systrar, kallar de det här, 7 olika regioner I India. Hvor Nagaland en av disse, og det et område som nesten 100% kristent, for der har baptistene hatt et gjennomslag av rang. Silas, it is such a pleasure to have you here. We are most blessed by your presence. I've said a few things about Nehemiah Ministries, that it's in Delhi, it's in Siliguri, and that Siliguri borders some of the most important places like Nepal, Bhutan, Bangladesh, and so on, and that there's also a center in Nagaland.
Yeah.
I leave it to you.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing so many things about me.
Tack för att du har sagt om mig så eller man inte har fått med sig.
One thing I know that he has not said that I am a husband of one wife.
Men jag vet att han har inte sagt att jag är man till en kone.
And I have one son.
Och han har också en son.
Right now both of them are in Delhi.
Akkurat nu så är de bägge två I Delhi.
So I want a lot of greetings from my churches and from my family.
Så jag bringer dere masse hilsener både fra familien min og fra menighetene der.
Today we are going to see something from the Bible.
Vi skal starte opp I Bibelen I dag.
Eric told me that you don't have to preach because they get a lot of good preaching.
Erik advart meg foran sa at du trenger ikke nødvendigvis å preke bare fra Bibelen fordi du får masse god undervisning.
Anyway, I'm going to say something from the Bible and at the same time I'm saying something about how the churches are doing in India and how what are the challenges are there, what are the difficulties that we have been facing. What is our growth in the church and what are many things I'm just going to include.
Men vi ska ta därför utgångspunkt I ett bibelvers och så ska vi dela mer om tjänsten vad som föregår där sån både vilka utmaningar vi har vilka växtmöjligheter som ligger där sån och vad vi har varit utsatt för allt det här det ska vi komma då in på utifrån det bibelverset vi tar tag I.
Okay, let's read from the Matthew.
Och vi börjar I Matteus
chapter 9
kapitel 9
Verses from 35 to 38.
Vi tar vers 35 till 38.
Okay, I'm just going to read in English.
Han läser då engelsk utgåvan först.
9, chapter 9, 35 to 38.
Matteus 9, 35 till 38.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowd, he had a compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciple, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out the workers into the harvest field.
Deretter dro Jesus omkring I alle landsbyene, eller byene og landsbyene. Han lærte I synagogene deres, forkynte evangeliet om riket, og helbredet alle slags sykdommer og alle slags skrøpeligheter blant folket. Men da han så folkeskarene, ble han dypt grepet av medlidenhet med dem, for de var utmattet og spredt omkring som sauer uten hyrde. Han sa til disiplene sine, høsten sannelig stor, men arbeiderne få. Be derfor høstens herre og drive ut arbeidere til sin høst.
You know, when Jesus was in this world,
når Jesus var I vår verden,
he went to the he did many things like doing miracles and going to the different villages and to towns.
Så gjorde han mange forskjellige ting. Han var rundt I landsbyer, I byer. Han gjorde helbredelser, mirakler.
So we see here a small glimpse of Jesus Christ, what he had done during his time on the earth.
Og her får vi et lite sånn øyeblikksbilde av noe av det som Jesus gjorde mens han var her på jorda.
As we just read now in the Bible that he went to the villages and then different towns.
Som jeg akkurat leste så var han både I landsbyer og byer.
And then he first thing is that he went to the different synagogues.
Og det første han gjorde når han var I synagogene.
And there he did some teachings to the to the people those who were following the Lord.
Og han underviste de der og de som fulgte Herren.
In also Bible, in Bible we also see Jesus Christ has was very hard. Jesus Christ was very hard to the rulers and also the religious leader and also to the other people.
Vi ser også hvordan Jesus utfordret de som var herskere I landet, hvordan han utfordret de religiøse landet.
He went to the synagogue and he did some teaching over there.
Han var I synagogen och så undervisade han något där.
And he stood firmly on the word of God.
Och han stod fast på Guds ord.
He was not in a position to compromise.
Han ville inte komma I en situation där han gick på kompromiss med någonting.
No distortion of the rules and regulation that has given to the Israelite.
Han ville inte förstöra någon av de reglerna och rättningslinjerna som blev gett till israeliterna.
If you read in Mark Matthew 15 verse 3.
Mark 15.
We see here the tradition and also the tradition versus commandment of God.
Vi ser om traditionen hans I Markus 15 I förhållande till Guds befallningar och Guds rättningslinjer.
Many people were just going to the therefore they were following the tradition.
För det var många människor som följde traditionen.
And many times Jesus has rebuked to his religious teacher.
Och Jesus irrättesätter då en del av denna religiösa lärarna sina.
Because they had distorted the law.
Fordi at de hadde forvrengt forståelsen av loven.
According to their comfort.
Og de hadde på en måte tilrettelagt den for sin egen komforts skyld.
Today is also a big challenge for as a Christian, you know.
Og I dag også store utfordringer for oss kristne.
Many times we try to distort the word of God according to our convenience.
Og mange ganger så prøver vi også å vri Guds ord så at det skal passe oss bedre og behage oss.
Many times we give a different interpretation of the Bible.
Og vi går glipp av forskjellige tolkninger eller hvordan Bibelen forteller til oss.
And then in this kind of situation, how we are going to stand firmly in the midst of these many challenges.
Så hvordan skal man da kunne stå fast midt I møte med alle disse utfordringene?
Especially when you are in India.
Spesielt for oss, vi I India.
As you are living among the different people group.
Når man lever der og bor iblant alle disse ulike folkegruppene.
Hindus are majority.
Og så har man da religiøse grupper der hinduene den største.
Muslims are there.
Det muslimer der.
Buddhists are there.
Buddhisten der.
And as a Christian, how you are going to live your testimony over there? How you are going to stand firm?
Og som en kristen, hvordan kan man stå fast midt oppi dette her sånn?
I know one brother Saros. He actually became a Christian 2 years back.
Vi har en broder, han heter broder Saros, og han ble kristen for 2 år siden.
He comes from the Brahmin background.
Han har bakgrunn I Brahmin, altså prestekasten, den øverste kasten.
And when he became a Christian, he was all the family members were not happy because he had 4 elder brothers.
Når han ble en kristen, så var ikke familien veldig fornøyd med det. Han hadde 4 eldre brødre.
And then these 4 elder brothers told him, brother, since we are not happy the way you are now going.
Sa til han disse 4 eldre brødrene, vi setter ikke pris på den veien som du har valgt å gå.
It has brought a lot of disgrace in our family.
For dette bringer skam over vår familie. Eller fornedrelse.
Better we suggest you why don't you go to the to the town and then do your study there whatever you do there.
Så vi föreslår att du flyttar till en större by och att du kan göra studierna dina och uppehålla dig där istället.
So this poor brother stopped the educational help at that time he was just going to the college.
På den tiden så gick han på college och de stansade rätt lätt undervisningen hans och sent han igår.
Then this brother went to Delhi.
Och så flyttade han då till Delhi denna brodern.
And since he has not completed his education, he got a small job and he started working over there.
Sedan han inte hade fullfört sin utbildning så fick han sig en enkel liten jobb och började göra den.
And one day he got a message from his father, son, I would like to come to your place and I just want to spend some time with you.
Och så fick han en besked plötsligt en dag från sin far där han sa jag vill gärna komma och besöka dig och vara samman med dig.
So this youngest son was so happy and then he just invited his father from his village.
Så den unge mannen han inviterade sin far för att komma från landsbyn och in till storbyn och besöka.
So this father while he's staying in Delhi with his youngest son.
Och denna far då medan han besökte sin yngre son I byn I Delhi.
Within 6 months of time.
Han blev där I 6 månader.
He became a Christian.
Så blev den pappan kristen.
He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior.
Han tog emot Jesus som sin personliga frälsare.
And then this father happily came back his village.
Och så reste den pappan tillbaka till landsbyn sen igen.
After some time this father wasn't doing very well with health. He wasn't very well with the health.
Oh ja, så blev han sjuk den mannen.
And then finally he died after some month.
Och döde någon månad senare.
And then when this younger brother who was in Delhi came to know that his father is no more, he just came in the village.
Og når denne gutten da som var I Delhi fikk høre at faren var død, så reiste han jo til landsbyen for å besøke familien der.
And then actually they were, the brothers were not allow him to come into in the house since his father dead, so they at that time he just allowed him to come.
Before they didn't allow him to come?
Yeah, actually he was in Delhi. He was chased out from the family. Yeah. But this time also they were not very much happy.
Yeah.
But since the father was died, so...
So they allowed him to come. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vanligvis så hadde de sagt at du må bare holde deg I Delhi. Du har ikke lov til å reise tilbake hjem igjen. Men nå på grunn av at faren var død, så fikk han få lov til å komme hjem.
And then when the time came, you know, in the Indian culture, in the Hindu culture, when somebody died, if the father died... Actually, all the son has to, they save their head.
I indisk kultur så det sånn at når far I huset dør, så må alle sønnene, de må barbere seg.
And then they have to dress white dress.
Og så må man klæ seg helt I hvitt I en periode.
And then they have to eat the things, you know, some of the particular things, which the Brahmin says not to eat some this time.
Og så gir prestene gir retningslinjer for hvilken type mat de har lov til å spise, og hva de ikke har lov til å spise I det hele tatt.
So this poor brother told this younger brother, whatever had happened in the past, no problem, since your father is died, so please come and participate in this kind of Hindu rituals.
Så de sa til denne yngre broren da, at la fortid være fortid, nå du hjertelig velkommen, og så skal vi bare ta del I denne hindu-ritualet sammen.
So this brother said, no, since I have already... I do not have any kind of faith, okay? Whatever I do, it is not going to help at all my father. So, it's okay. I mean, I'm not going to participate in this kind of ritual. Mm.
Men han bestemte seg for, og sa til sine brødre at, nei, jeg har jo ikke noe tro på dette hinduistiske ritualene lenger, så jeg kommer ikke til å delta på den saken der I det hele tatt. Det kommer ikke til å forandre noen ting for faren vår, uansett.
So, in the family, there was a lot of debate and a lot of... the things was going on with his brothers.
Det ble masse diskusjon og masse debatt rundt dette her mellom han og brødrene.
Finally, they call all the relatives and also all their family, you know, the villagers.
Til slutt så kalte de sammen hele landsbyen og alle som var I familie og alle sammen.
And they made an agreement there.
Ja, og så ble man kommet til en overenskommelse.
If you are not going to participate in this kind of ritual service, then you are not going to... take any, you know, the property from father.
Da sa de, hvis ikke du deltar I dette hinduistiske ritualet, så får du heller ingenting av arven.
And he said, brother, since I have already believed in Jesus Christ, he's my savior, and this is not going to help. So even if I have to leave all these properties, if I have to leave anything, I'm ready to leave, but I'm not going to leave Jesus Christ.
Og denne broderen sa at jeg har kommet til å tro på Jesus Kristus, og jeg har på en måte ikke noe behov for disse tingene her sånn, så jeg villig til å forlate arven og alt det som for jeg vil aldri fornekte Jesus, jeg vil holde fast ved ham.
This is how sometimes when you are in India, this kind of challenges you have to face.
Denne type utfordringer møter man til stadighet I India.
And like Jesus Christ, he never compromised with the things.
Men som også Jesus Kristus, denne mannen gikk heller ikke på kompromis med sin tro.
Now, second thing is that we see here the preaching the good news of the of kingdom.
Det andre vi ser at man forkynner Guds rike, de gode nyheten om Guds rike.
Jesus himself has shown the example how we have to preach the gospel to the different villages and then towns.
Jesus har vist oss et eksempel på hvordan man forkynner Guds rike rundt I landsbyer og I byer.
And as a follower of Jesus Christ, we also need to follow Jesus' footsteps.
Som en etterfølger av Jesus, så gjør vi vel I også følge hans fotspor.
In Matthew 28:18, it is written.
I Matteus 28:18 så står det.
All the authority in heaven and earth is given to me.
At all autoritet I himlen og på jorden gitt til meg. Derfor gå ut.
And make the disciple.
Og gjør disipler.
Even in the Luke 9:10.
Selv I Lukas 9:10.
Jesus has sent 12 disciples and 70 disciples in a different time.
Da ser vi at Jesus først sender de 12 apostlene, og sender de 70 apostlene.
So preaching and sharing the gospel is a primary duty of every Christian.
Så det å få dele evangeliet med andre mennesker en hovedansvar for enhver kristen.
Whether you are a pastor, whether you are a teacher, whether you are a doctor, whatever the job you do, our responsibility is to share the word of God.
Enten du pastor, lærer, eller lege, eller hva du så vårt ansvar å forkynne Guds rike.
You know, in our church, we tell them, you know, I mean, we have a great mission field.
I vår kirke så sier vi har et kjempestort misjonsmark.
If you are a student while going to college or a student, your college and school is your mission field.
Hvis du på skole, så dine medstudenter misjonsfeltet ditt.
If you are going to the tea garden to pluck the tea leaves, tea garden is your mission field.
Om du arbeider I teplantasjen og plukker teblader der, så hele teplantasjen ditt misjonsfelt.
If you are a driver and you are taking a passenger to the different places here and there, you know, I mean, your vehicle and that passengers are the mission field.
Och hvis du en chaufför och du kör människor fram och tillbaka så bilen och för passagerarna ett missionsfält.
Every situation you have to share the word of God.
I alla situationer gitt dig så kan du dela Guds ord.
Many times people have a lot of excuses, okay?
Och så har många undskyldningar I förhållande
till det. Oh, I cannot preach because these people are so hot.
Jag kan inte preka till dig, de är så vanskliga, de är så.
Oh, I cannot preach because these people are all Christians.
Alla dessa här är ju inte kristna.
Oh, they are all Hindus.
Eller alla är kristna, alla är hinduer.
They oppose many times.
Och de har massa argumenter mot.
But you know, I mean, this is our experience. You know, the how the God is preparing somebody's heart when you go and meet the people.
Men vår erfaring at Gud forbereder menneskets hjerter, og når vi begynner å snakke med dem, så møter vi dem.
When you go to the different villages,
når du går til landsbyene for eksempel,
you know, we share the word of God to these people.
Så deler vi Guds ord med disse menneskene.
And then at the same time we find some people who are I mean really thirsty for the Lord.
Och så finner vi alltid någon människor som är väldigt törste efter
Herren. They want our prayer.
Och de önskar vår förbön för exempel.
And then this is how the you know the God is preparing the people before we go to their houses and to their villages.
Och det är den måten som vi ser att Herren har förberett disse menneskene før vi kommer till disse landsbyene och husene deres.
You know, in India, since last 2014, when the BJP Hindu Party came in a rule,
siden 2014, da et hinduistisk parti som heter BJP fikk herredømme.
Persecution is more and more severe every time.
Så har forfølgelsen blitt mer og mer alvorlig for hver dag som går.
We have witnessed that the persecution is more severe in India in last few years. Than ever before.
Og vi ser at forfølgelsen mer alvorlig og dypere I India nå de siste to årene enn noensinne før I historien vår.
Almost 1200 case is registered in the police station during this time from 14 to 18.
Fra 14 til 18 så det over 1200 saker som har blitt anmeldt til politiet I denne fasen.
Now the open ear preaching is almost banned in India. You cannot do.
Det å ha åpne kampanjer og forkynne fra vanlige åpne møter, det kan du nesten ikke få til lenger.
Healing crusade and going to the different towns and villages and distributing tracts is almost impossible now.
Helbredelsesmøter, offentlige helbredelsesmøter og det å gå og dele ut traktater nesten forbudt og nesten umulig å gjennomføre.
Pastors are sometimes, you know, dragged out from the village, from the church and they are beaten up very badly.
Pastorene blir dratt ut av kirkene, dratt ut av landsbyene sine og får bank og juling regelmessig.
Their houses are vandalized and they put in a prison many times.
Och husen deras har blivit vandaliserat och många gånger blir de satt I fängelse.
But the one thing is that even in the midst of this kind of persecution, you know, the evangelism has not stopped.
Men mitt upp I denna förföljelsen så ser man evangeliseringen stannar inte upp.
It is growing in a different level.
Den har bara beveget sig in på ett helt nytt nivå.
Even though there is a lot of persecution but still the evangelism work is going
Så selv om det masse forfølgelse, så fortsetter evangeliseringen å holde på.
You know, last time I went to Bihar.
Sist jeg var I Bihar, som en av de statene som ligger på grensen til Nepal.
It's another state.
Ja, I just explained where it was.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Then en stat, altså en annen stat der han bor selv.
And then in Bihar, many villages are there.
I Bihar så det altså masse landsbyer, en veldig befolkning.
They don't have a very good transportation.
Og man har ikke et godt transportsystem.
We go to the different villages in a motorcycle.
Så vi må kjøre med motorsykkel eller moped for å komme inn til disse landsbyene.
Last month I went, it was almost 46 temperature.
Det var 46 grader sist måneden jeg var der.
And then, you know, the hot wind was blowing.
Og du kjenner den varme vinden som blåser imot deg.
I had to cover all my face because, and I had to, you know, this open because it was very hot.
Jag måste täcka till hela ansiktet mitt. Jag hade bara en liten sån stripe där jag kunde se igenom.
And I went to the village and village to village and then we had I had to conduct the you know the pastors and leaders meeting.
Och jag var från landsby till landsby och överallt så hade vi dessa pastor- och ledarsamlingarna.
And in the evening when we are conducting a meeting in the rooftop because you cannot have a hold the meeting inside because it's very very hot.
Och på kvällen så hade vi möter och då var vi på något under ett öppet tak men utan väggar för man kunde inte vara inne I hus för det var allt för varmt.
And then these leaders were staying actually though most of them had come from the field.
Och dessa pastorerna de har varit på jobb på åkern sin hela dagen först.
And they were saying that we have been in a different villages and the church has been planting in different people groups. Why don't you come and why don't you bring some pastors and teach us something because we do not know anything from the Bible. Whatever we hear from you, that we go and share every day in the field.
Och det har fortalt att först har vi på jobb hela dagen och så går vi ut till landsbyn och så förkynner vi evangeliet där. Och då plantar vi menigheter och människor blir frälst där ute. Och varför kan du inte ta med dig någon pastor så kommer du och så håller du någon seminar och tränar oss för att vi kan bli stansat till att förkynna på en bättre måte.
These people actually they just hear the word of God and then just go and preach the word of God.
Dessa folk här de hör nästan bara Guds ord läst upp och så handlar de I förhåll till det som blir står.
They are not trained, they are not theologically trained pastors.
Det här är människor som inte har någon teologisk träning, ingen bakgrund I det helt tatt.
But I see the zeal in their heart and then every day you know after the work they go to the different villages and the field and the different places and then they themselves involved in the sharing the word of God.
Och jag ser hur deras iver är så stark alltså. Där jobbar de alltså hela dagen och så går de ut på marken och på fälten där de förkynner Guds ord.
That is how we have planted almost 75 churches in this year.
Så har de plantat nästan 75 menigheter I år bara.
And then
I det området.
And the pastor was saying, please come every month, please come and teach us and help us and build a church because now the house is so small for us. It's very difficult for us.
Och pastorerna där säger kom och träna oss. Kom och träna oss och förbereda oss så vi kan göra tjänsten ända bättre och så gärna vara med och bygga hus, bygga nya kyrkor till oss för att vi har allt för små hus nu. Vi kan inte få plats till alla människorna.
This is how Jesus is also spent his time preaching good news of the kingdom.
Och det var sån Jesus brukte sin tid där han var runt och förkynte evangelium rike.
And Jesus also went to the different villages to heal the diseases and the sicknesses.
Jesus var också ute och I landsbyen och helbredet de sjuka och de skröpliga.
Jesus did not only he teach and preach.
Inte bara alltså förkynte och undervisade han,
but he also healed the people those who are sick.
Men han helbredet också de som var sjuka.
Today medical field is so big.
Idag så mirakelområdet gigantiskt. Det är kämpesvärt.
A man has to study years and years to become a doctor and to be specialized in particular area.
Inom medicin så måste man studera I många år för att bli specialist och känna sina områden sitt område.
I don't know about Norway but in India it's very tough to get a medical seat.
Jag vet inte I Norge men I India så är det väldigt väldigt vanskligt att få en anerkännelse och godkänning som medicinsk läge och utbildning till det.
They spend a lot of money, you know. I mean just to get the admission.
Och det brukas massa pengar bara för att få adgång till studier.
And you have to be a excellent student, you know.
Och du måste vara allra ypperste klass av student för att få komma in på studier.
They spend 5 years for MBBS.
Och så brukar man
just for a bachelor degree.
5 år för att få sin bachelorgrad.
And then again to get you know this postgraduate it's very difficult.
Och så för att du ska kunna få det vidaregående studiet som är mer en masternivå så är det ända mer krävande.
Though they study a lot, they spend a lot of time, they are specialized only in one particular area.
Men selv om de da har trent seg så enormt gjennom denne perioden, så de ofte bare spesialister I ett bittelite område.
But our Jesus Christ was a great doctor.
Men Jesus, han var en fantastisk lege.
He was specialized in all the area.
For han var specialisert på alla livets områden.
He was gynecologist.
Han var gynekolog.
He was eye specialist.
Han var øyespecialist.
He was ENT specialist.
ENT?
Yeah. And throat. ENT. We call it.
Okay.
You don't know?
No, it's okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Øre, nese, hals specialist.
Anyway. In India, we call ENT. ENT means ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah, I just said it.
Okay.
Øre, nese, hals specialist.
Yeah.
I figured it out.
He was specialized in all the area.
But Jesus, han kunne alle disse områdene her.
In India, you know, I mean, when you become a sheikh, you are almost half dead.
I India, hvis du da først blir syk, så du halvdød allerede.
I'm not criticizing of my own country, but these are the real situations.
Jeg kritiserer ikke på ingen måte mitt eget land, men det bare den reelle situasjonen vår.
When you go to the doctor, when you go to the hospital with one sickness.
Når du går til legen og har med deg en sykdom.
When you come in the evening, when you come back, you bring three more sicknesses.
På vei hjem derifra så har du fått med deg tre til sykdommer.
Medical facilities are so poor.
Fordi at det medisinske tilstand so av våre fasiliteter så dårlig.
You know, like we don't have a plenty doctors and we don't have plenty hospitals and we don't have a medical facilities.
Ja, ikke har vi nok leger, ikke har vi nok sykehus og I hvert fall ikke til steder der man får behandling.
Jo, so when you are sick in India, you are say half is dead.
Så derfor så sier man ofte I India at når du blir syk, så du halvdød allerede.
Even if you go to the private clinics and nursing home.
Og det gjelder også om du går til private klinikker og hjelpehjem.
The doctors prescribe so many tests. Okay, you have to do this, that, and all the tests are so expensive.
Legen skriver ut en masse sånne tester som du må ta, og alle disse koster jo fryktelig mye penger. Alle disse testene du må gjøre gjennomføre.
You know, when you go to the village and when you go to the doctor and this priest, they are also highly demanded.
Når du bor I landsbyen, så om du da går til heksedoktoren, eller den som prest på en måte I sånn trolldomsprest I de områdene, så setter de også høye krav til hvilken penger de skal ha.
They also charge a lot from the people.
Så de tar også høye betalinger fra folka som skal få hjelp av disse.
Even in the community like this kind of, you know, the priest and then the witch doctors and all, they demand very high.
Ja, altså både buddhistprestene og heksedoktorene, de krever et høyt honorar for å hjelpe deg.
So the desperate people, they come to the church for prayer.
Så de som helt desperate, de kommer derfor til kirken for å få bønn der.
And then we don't charge from these people.
Men vi tar ikke betalt av disse folka.
They just come with the belief that Jesus is going to heal.
De kommer bare med en enkel tro, Jesus kan helbrede.
They are pressed from all the area, there's no other way, only the church can help me. And then, because of this kind of faith, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
De har jo presset fra alle disse andre områdene, men når de kommer til kirken, så har de på en måte brukt opp alle muligheter, og de har bare en enkel tro at Jesus skal helbrede meg.
You know, when we get sick, you know, sometimes the trust or our hope sometimes goes to the doctor, which is the best doctor in the city.
Av og til når vi blir syke, så kjenner vi på en måte kanskje at vi mister litt tro, alt det her sånn, og så går vi til legen, og vi går til den beste legen vi finner I byen.
And what is the best hospital in our city?
Og hva det beste sykehus I vår by?
Sometimes, you know, we don't trust to the Lord, but we trust to the doctors, we trust to the hospitals and to the medicines.
Og så har vi mer tillit egentlig til legen, til sykehus og medisinene.
But the people, those who trust in the Lord, they come to the church and then they are healed.
Men disse menneskene som vi ofte ser, de setter sin fulle tillit til Gud, kommer til kirken og blir helbredet.
You know, in our church, 80% people are, they are saved. Through the healing.
80% av de som medlemmer hos oss, de blitt frelst fordi de har blitt helbredet først.
I can tell you many, many, many stories, you know, how these people are get healed and how was their life and how the Lord has done in their life. Many, many stories I can tell, but since there's no time.
Jeg kan fortelle mengder av historier, som dere skjønner, om mennesker som har opplevd helbredelse, men siden vi har begrenset tid, så får vi hoppe over det, men 80% altså helbredet.
Today, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus can heal your every disease and sickness?
Så spørsmålet mitt går til deg I dag. Tror du Jesus kan helbrede deg fra alle dine sykdommer?
Whether it's your physical sickness,
enten det fysiske sykdommer,
whether it's your spiritual sickness,
eller om det åndelige sykdommer,
We do believe that Jesus is a healer.
Vi tror at Jesus helbrederen.
Okay. Now we see the heart of Jesus.
Vi ser altså Jesu hjertelag.
Jesus was a very compassionate heart.
Han hadde stor medlidenhet.
When he saw the crowd and moved with a compassion and because Jesus has a very compassionate heart.
När han så mängden så fick han medlidenhet med dig för han hade medfølelse för dig.
What does it really compassion means?
Vad betyder det medlidenhet begreppet?
It is suffering with another.
Det betyder att lida med varandra.
Compassion is action.
Det betyder handling.
Compassion moves, it doesn't stay in one place.
Medlidenhet sätter dig I bevegelse. Den gör dig att du blir passiviserad och blir sittande ned.
Compassion, it doesn't stand still.
Medlidenhet står inte stille.
Does not ignore.
Den överser inte.
That does not ignore the problem and does not turn away.
Den överser inte problemet och snur sig inte bort ifrån problemet.
If someone is in need.
Visst är någon som har ett behov.
You know, sometimes we do the ministry, but we do not do the ministry without compassionate heart.
Av och till så kan det hända att vi gör tjänste, men utan medlidenhet I hjärtat.
If you don't have a compassionate heart, then you will be doing some kind of social work.
Hvis du ikke har dette medlidenhetshjerte, så man bare ute og gjør noe sosialt.
There is a difference between ministry and the social work.
Det forskjell på tjeneste og sosialt arbeid.
Many people they do the social work because.
Det mange som gjør det sosiale arbeidet fordi.
But when you are doing the ministry, you need to have a compassionate heart.
Men om du gjør tjeneste, så må du være ute fra et medlidende hjerte.
Oh, I know one pastor. You know, I'm back home.
En pastor du hjemme.
One day I went to his house.
En dag så var jeg I huset hans.
Yeah, I had to spend overnight over with him.
Og jeg ble der over natten.
And he offered me in the lunch a few potatoes.
He gave you
yeah,
potatoes.
Few boiled potatoes.
Ja, han ga Silas noen kokte poteter til lunchen.
And then he told me, Pastor,
han,
this is our lunch.
Pastor, det her lunchen vår.
Yeah, this is our lunch. You have to have potatoes, okay? I said okay.
Och det blir potatoer till lunch idag, så det är grejt, sa jag.
And in the evening, we went to the different houses. That was our particular house visiting day.
Och den dagen så hade vi speciellt husbesök på agendan, så vi besökte olika hus.
And the evening we came.
Och så på kvällen när vi kom.
For
så hade han bara potatoer till oss servera igen.
For us. Without rice, the pool is our pool is actually it's we feel it's incomplete.
Men för oss asiater så är det så att hvis ikke du har ris så har du ikke haft ett fullständigt måltid. Da har du ikke spist egen til den dagen.
Then that evening,
og så sa den pastoren til mig.
He told me that the previous day he visited some of the families. And then there he found that this family was so poor, and then they were just lying there without food, and they all these three four families, and he gave whatever he had at home.
Och så besökte han några familjer och fann ut att de hade ju inte mat I det hela tatt. Så då gick han hem och tog den maten han hade hemma och gav bort.
And then I told pastor, actually you should have keep some, you know, some rice for your family because you also have some children.
Och så sa jag till den pastorn, du borde ha behållit lite grann ris och lite mat för dig själv för du har ju också barn som du ska ge mat till.
And then this pastor said, I cannot think. Whenever I see the, you know, the problem in others' family, I cannot think for my family, I cannot think myself.
Och så sa han att när jag ser denna nöden som människor har så klarar jag bara inte att tänka på mig själv och mina egna behov.
I know this pastor as sometimes he suffers a lot.
Och jag känner denna pastorn han lider massa.
Sometimes he will be without money to pay his children's fees, his school fees.
Han av och till så manglar han pengar till att kunna betala den pengarna som ska till för skolegång.
And I sometimes say why don't you think for your pastor? It is not like and the way you can lead your family.
Och jag tänker så säger han du måste tänka på så din familj, du måste ta vare på din familj också säger han.
And then this pastor says no I cannot help myself.
Och så säger han nej jag kan inte hjälpa mig själv.
This is my heart that God has given to me and I have to help.
Jag har fått ett medlidande hjärta med dessa människor och jag må bara hjälpa dem.
And then this pastor is known as a kind-hearted pastor in that entire village.
Och denna man är känd som en varmhjärta person över hela landsbyen där han bor.
Whoever goes you know to his house he never you know the sent without empty handed.
För när de kommer till hans hus och har stora behov så vet jag att de går aldrig ifrån hans hus med tomhänta.
And then I'm very happy because this pastor has a very kind heart. No problem, no matter what the problem that he is facing, but still then he is very happy to help other.
Och så ser vi att denna godhjärta personen, hur han är så glad för att kunna vara till hjälp för andra människor, och hur Herren hjälper han med sina områden.
And also the Bible says about the eyes of Jesus.
Bibeln talar lite grann om Jesu ögon.
Jesus saw the harvest are plentiful, but the workers are few.
Jesus såg att hösten var stor, men arbetarna är väldigt få.
Nobody has ever seen such a plenty harvest.
Det ingen som någonsin har sett en så stor inhöstning.
Nobody has ever felt the need of labor in the harvest field.
Och ingen har känt alltså kraften eller slitagen i arbetsfältet.
Jesus saw with his eyes that there are plenty harvest.
Men Jesus kunde se med sina ögon hur stor inhöstningen var.
You know, sometimes I pray to the Lord and I ask Lord, why please give me your eyes so that I can see the things with your eyes.
Jag säger rätt som det är till Herren. Herre, ge mig dina ögon så jag kan se det du ser.
You know, like as I say it in Bihar, when we go to the different mountain places, you know, we see a lot of the needs of the people.
När vi är ute i områdena sånt som i Bihar eller upp i fjällena så ser vi ju människornas helt uppenbara behov.
And the people are dying, people are in need.
Människor är döende och de har stora behov.
Though I'm not talking about the financial need, though I'm not talking about their physical need, but there are some of the spiritual need that is very much needed.
Och nu snackar vi inte om de materiella behoven, men vi ser på de andliga behoven och där behovet är jättestort.
Because when Jesus saw these people, he saw that the people were harassed and they were without shepherd.
Och han såg hur dessa människor led. Jesus såg hur dessa människor led och hur de var utmattade och spred runt omkring och de var som sauer utan hyrde.
And then Jesus said, ask the Lord of harvest, therefore send out the workers into the field.
Och så säger Jesus, be därför höstens herre att han ska sända arbetarna ut i fältet.
Can we honestly pray to our heavenly God, Father, to send out his chosen labor
in
the harvest field? Kan
vi verkligen be till Gud att han ska sända sina arbetare ut i fältet?
You know, I'm a rice harvester.
Jag är risbonde, eller en risinhöster.
I think in the month of November this is a time to harvest the rice.
I november där han bor så är inhöstningstiden för ris kommit.
You know, during the time November there is a late rain comes.
Och i november så kommer det ett sån sista regn på något eller sånt senregn.
And sometimes these late rains, you know, they spoil all your rice before you harvest.
Och det här sista regnet, av och till är det sånt att det kommer och så ödelägger det hela avlingen din.
So as a farmer see the season.
Så som en bonde så må du verkligen se an säsongen.
You have to have a discerning, you know, the spirit when this late rain supposed to come.
Du må ha en förståelse och en inre överbevisning om när är det detta regnet kommer nå.
If you are still late, then sometimes you have to you'll have a great loss.
För visst du är för sent ute så kan du riskera ett stort tap.
You know, that is why actually we need to harvest the rice field in a rice season.
Och det är därför vi måste hösta risen när det är säsong för inhöstning.
So this is how the worldwide when I see, you know, this is a right time to harvest.
Och det är så jag ser det på världsbasis att tiden är inne för inhöstning.
And it is time to pray to the Lord and to cry out to the Lord, please Lord, you send out the laborer.
Det är en tid att ropa, Herre, send ut arbetarna.
We are in an end time harvest field.
Vi är i en avslutning och endetids inhöstningstid.
We are in an end time of the harvest field.
Och vi är i avslutningen av inhöstningstiden.
People are being saved in a different places.
Och människor blir frälst i olika land.
The people are really hunger for the Lord.
Och de hungrar efter Herren.
And then the thousands of people are coming to the Lord, and then 100 churches are being planted, are planting in every year.
Och tusentals av människor blir frälst vart enaste år, och hundrevis av menigheter plantas vart enaste år.
So today, as I'm going to end my sermon,
så idag när jag går till avslutning,
I just want to challenge you.
Så vill jag utfordra dig.
Will you join your voice with us?
Kan du låta din röst samlas med oss?
And join our hands.
Och att vi kan stå med händerna samman.
And the voice together.
Och hjärtat och stämmer samman.
God is going to hear our cry.
Så kan Gud höra vårt rop.
I don't know.
Ikke vet jag.
How is going to send?
Hvordan Gud ska sända dessa folk ut?
Who he is going to send?
Eller vem han ska sända ut?
Where he is going to send?
Och var han kommer till att sända dig?
When he is going to send?
Eller när han kommer till att sända dig?
But definitely God is going to send. Men, and as a Christian, it is our prayer that we should pray to the Lord, Lord, please send the laborer in your harvest field.
Men det som helt sikkert at vi skal be denne bønnen, Herre, send dine arbeidere ut I innhøstningsfeltet.
India is such a big country where around less than 3,000 different people groups are there.
India et stort land med altså 2,600 cirka folkegrupper.
Almost 95.3% is people are not been saved.
95,3% ikke frelst.
It's a big harvest field.
Det en stor innhøstningsområde.
And we need to send, we need to ask to the Lord to send, you know, laborer in the field.
Og vi ber Høstens Herre at han skal sende arbeidere ut I feltene der.
As we are going to the different villages, as we are preaching to the different area.
I det vi går til disse forskjellige feltene og områdene som vi arbeider.
This BJP also has started some kind of movement. We call them, they call it, what is it? Ghar Wapasi.
De har startet BJP, dette hinduistiske politiske partiet med statsminister Modi som der nå. De har startet en egen kampanje som de kaller for Harvatisi.
Ghar Wapasi means homecoming, homecoming.
Som betyr å komme hjem.
To bring these people back to home.
De skal bringe folket
hjem igjen. Because they think all these Indians are actually were Hindu before.
Og det man tenker at alle disse indierne har opprinnelig vært hinduer, altså alle vært 100% hinduer I India tidligere.
Oh, so somehow they become a Christians and then they converted their religion and all. So that is why this Hindu, you know, this extremist group, they go to the village and they organize this Ghar Wapasi means home, homecoming, you know, this they organize this kind of meeting. And where they bring all the people, different tribal people, different those who have embraced Christianity, you know, by threatening and by showing different kinds of things. They try to bring again back to the back to home.
Så man går altså rundt disse her grupperingene som kanskje en radikalisering innenfor den hinduistiske grupperingen her sånn. De rundt overalt I landsbyer og opp I fjellene, henter folkegrupper og forskjellige mennesker ned der. Noen ved trusler, andre ved å lokke dem og for at de skal komme tilbake hjem.
They threaten, okay, if you become a Christian, if you become like this, then you are not going to, we are not going to give you you know the some of the certificate that is needed when they are in the village for example birth certificate death certificate you'll not get you know the some of the privilege that they get you know the villagers they get they are not going to get it we are not going to we will talk with the local county people because this county you know the office has a you know our party majority Okay, because this county office is controlled by our party. So, if you not become a Hindu, or if you do not renounce, you know, the Christianity, then we are not going to help you.
Så det man truer altså med forskjellige måter, og så sier til dem at hvis dere ikke omvender dere fra kristendommen, så kommer vi til å ta fra dere alle rettighetene dere har. Altså du får ikke en del identitetspapirer, altså fødselssertifikat, han sa dødssertifikat også, men det har du ikke brukt for mer enn en gang, måtte jeg på å si, men alle andre mulige papirer som har med identiteten å gjøre, det får man da ikke utlevert, for at de sier vi har majoritet, vårt parti har majoritet I dette området her, og vi sier da bare til de som I myndighet at du får ikke levert disse her tingene her. Og du får heller ikke noen av de fordelene som du vanligvis har. En del av de minoritetsgruppene har visse fordeler med matkuponger og sånne ting, så de får tilgang til ting, og da får du heller ikke del I disse bitene
so,
her.
So since last 2 years we have been seeing this Ghar Wapasi movement is going in all over the India.
Og vi har sett nå de siste 2 årene hvor denne Ghar Wapasi, denne kommer hjem grupperingen, har arbeidet over hele India.
And they just want to make this India free of Christians and free of Muslims by the end of 2021.
Och de har en målsättning att de ska bli kvitt alla muslimer och alla kristna innan 2021. Alltså då ska de ha blivit hinduer igen.
Sometimes we hear from the national television, you know, all big, you know, these Hindu leaders are threatening to the Christians and threatening to Muslims, and they threaten us to, you know, the chase out from the country, and they just want to make a Hindu nation.
Av og til så hører vi ledende hinduledere som sier at hvis vår målsetning at hele landet skal bli hinduistisk, og at de som ikke ønsker å følge retningslinjene, de blir jaget ut av landet. Om du muslim eller kristen, så jager vi dere ut hvis ikke dere blir hinduer.
There is a persecution, you know, from the government side.
Så en forfølgelse fra staten sin side.
There is a persecution in the society.
Og ifra samfunnet.
Even there is a persecution from the family.
Og enda til fra familiene.
So these three kinds of persecution that each and every Christians are facing these days.
Så dessa tre forskjellige altså forfølgelsesområder som alle kristne står overfor.
But the good thing is that the good thing is that preaching is going on, evangelism work is going on, church has been planting, and then people are getting saved each and every year.
Men det gode at evangeliet går fram, forkynnelsen holder ved, og mennesker blir frelst uansett.
Today I'm here.
Så I dag jeg her.
To request you.
For å spørre deg.
Please pray to the Lord that he may send more laborer in India and to the different field so that we are all can be a part of this end time harvest.
Så att vi kan få flera arbetare som kan vara med I denna endetidsinhöstningen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much, Silas. Thank you so much.